All right, get your Bibles out. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. We are starting a brand new series, and I honestly don't know how long it will be. It's not my favorite word that I hate is the word expository. It's not that at all. It'll be topical. But we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say this. The charismatics, the healers, the feelers, and the squealers have ruined the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is real, but it's not like what a lot of quote-unquote religious people say. It's not flipping and flopping on the floor like a fish out of water and saying all kinds of weirdo words that nobody understands or slapping each other in the head saying, be healed and everything. It's not that at all. But Genesis chapter 1, we're going to use our Bibles tonight, so get ready. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse number 14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Oh, look at verse number 20. And I'm just picking up the last part of this chapter. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly, moving creatures that hath life from the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. If you saw in verse number 3, and God said, let there be light. Verse number 6, and God said, let the there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse number 9, and God said, let the waters be under the heaven, be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And verse number 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, and whose seed in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Look at verse number 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after the likeness of after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's politicians. And look at verse number 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Let me pray, and did I already pray once? I don't remember. Did I? Offering. Father, bless the message tonight. Help me, Lord. Help me to use your words rightly. Lord, these are not my words. They're yours. Help me to present them in such a way the people understand, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Everything that God has ever done, everything that God will ever do, has been done by his word. And God said. The world will tell you, well, evolution is true. No, it's not. It breaks every law of nature. Well, man came from a lower being. If that be the case, how come you can't put monkey blood in a human?
Right.
How come you can't put horse blood in a cow?
You're right. 'Cause
it's everything after its own kind.
That's right.
If it's so true, let's use their philosophy. If they're so enthralled with the fact that evolution is true, why are they worried about global warming? We should be able to morph ourselves to adjust to it. Because they say that's how evolution works. You think that you need something that you don't have, therefore, you think it long enough, you become it. Is that not how they say? So, everything that God has ever done, or ever will do, it's been done by his word. God created everything by his word.
Yes, sir.
He spoke it into existence. He didn't make the world, he created the worlds. To make something means you had substance to start with. Creation means you have nothing and there it is. You see, God spoke creation into happening. Man wants to be his own God, but man cannot create. Man can make things from other substances, but man cannot create. Oh, we've created life in the test tube. No, you didn't. You may have fertilized an egg, but you did not make life. God made life.
Yes, sir.
God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, Jesus will defeat the Antichrist by the word of his mouth.
Right.
Take your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians. I'll show you what I mean. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and look at verse number 8. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Notice the W on wicked is capitalized. That's in reference to the devil. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. In other words, he will take down the Antichrist, the wicked one, with the words of his mouth. Turn also to Revelation chapter 19, all the way back just about two chapters from the end. Revelation chapter 19, look at verse, actually about three chapters, I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 19, look at verse number 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of all the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know that is also Jesus.
Amen.
Now, he comes at what we would call the end war, and he defeats the nations with the words of his mouth. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful as a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints of marrow, as a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, the words of God were authored and given by the Spirit of God himself. You have to understand, let me try to explain this. For us to properly learn and know the Bible, we must know the Holy Spirit. God made man body. That's this wonderful specimen you see in front of you. A soul. That's what's communicating to you right now. That's my soul. But there's also a spirit. The spirit is that which allows us to communicate with God. Here's what happened, though. When man sinned, his spirit died.
Yes, sir.
His body didn't die. His soul did not die. But his spirit died. His ability to communicate with God, his ability to be eternal with God in communication, died. That's why salvation is necessary. Without salvation, someone is just body and soul. Say, where does evolution come from? Lost people. Because they're just body and soul. They have no spirit to allow them to communicate with God. That's why in John chapter 3, and I'm getting probably cover this again, when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, Nicodemus said, how can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? He said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit.
That's right.
See, our spirit has to be reborn by the Spirit of God. The Bible uses the term regenerated, regeneticized. We get regened when we get saved. We get the eternal genetics of God by the Holy Spirit moving in the moment you get saved. Just like when seed is conceived between a husband and a wife, life begins immediately. I don't care what governors and politicians say.
Right.
It's not even at a heartbeat, it's at conception.
That's right.
Amen. Especially after it's born, they shouldn't be killing it. That's called murder as well. Now, the Spirit is that which allows us to communicate with God and to be in eternal communion with him. So you have body, soul, and spirit. I want you to notice something. The spirit is what died at sin. Therefore, man needs his spirit reborn, regened, to become alive. And that happens through the word of God, not through an experience.
Right.
Now, the closer you get to him, the more you'll understand that book. People tell me all the time, well, I've read it, I just don't understand it. I'll be kind, but what you're telling me is you're not real close to the Holy Spirit because he'll teach it to you. He will help you understand it. He wrote it. And I'll keep going here because I have a lot of ground to cover. The Holy Spirit is God, just like God the Father, just like God the Son.
Yes,
sir. Let me try to explain this. It's hard for us humans to understand. There is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let me show you what I mean. My mom and dad sit back here. I am their son. But I'm also a father. I have three children, two in Kentucky, and my daughter does have all of her teeth right now. I have two in Kentucky. I have one in Florida. So I am Josh, Jeff, and Mindy's father. Now, wait a minute. I'm also their son. But I'm also your pastor. I'm also a husband. Do you know that I don't talk to you like I do to my dad and mom? Now, I'm the same person, but I have certain privileges with them that I don't have with you. I'm not going to come to your house, punch the code on your garage door, and just walk in. I will there, but not at your house. You say, why? I don't have those privileges at your house. Y'all understand what I mean there? I'm not going to come correct you like I would my children. Say why? Because you're not my child. And you're glad and so am I. No more. Done. Past that point, amen. Next ones that come in my house are visitors or grandkids. That's it. Now, you see, I am the same person, but I have a different role. I've got lots of roles right now. Now, God has the ability to separate God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit as three entities, though they're one God. Does that make sense to everybody? All right, now, the Holy Spirit is God just like Jesus is. And I've, in other words, I use the term role. R-O-L-E, not R-O-L-L, all right? I had, come and dine. Brother Smith and I were talking this weekend. He said, Brother Bush, he said, is it hard with your dad being in your church and being a deacon on your church? I said, no. I said, my dad and I both understand what our proper role is. I said, we don't cross that line. I said, it's a wonderful thing. I said, we don't mix home and church at either place. And we don't step out of line in either place. That means there's times he's dad, but I'm pastor. And there's times I've had to look at him and say, I'm talking to you as your pastor, not as your kid now. Listen to me. And I got to get a little tough. Usually it's about his health because he won't listen. He's hard-headed. Like somebody else I know sitting on the back row, Harry. But sometimes I have to play the pastor role to my mom and dad. But at the same time, I get to be a child too. When mom had her surgery, I got to... I walk in just about anywhere I want in the hospital. I'll say, look, I'm her pastor. I happen to have the same last name, but it doesn't matter. I'll do what I need to do. And then when I get there, I be pastor and son. And it's fun. Now, God is able to separate those three roles as three separate people and yet stay one God. I can be pastor, I can be son, I can be husband, I can be dad, I can be all of those things. And I don't have to separate me. All right? I don't have to take meds for it either. Just know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all God. Okay? Now, It really doesn't matter if you're praying. You say, well, do I talk to God the Father? Do I talk to the Son? Or do I talk to the Holy Spirit? All three of them are one. You can talk to whoever you want. Let's just put it that way. Now, because the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, sometimes that word is used in the Bible, is God, he cannot work outside or contrary to those words, or he is not God. Let me show you what I mean. You will hear religious leaders, I won't call them preachers, because anybody would say this is not a biblical preacher. Well, you need to give up your paycheck this week and give it all to God. God told me. Well, God didn't tell you, because it's not written in the book that way. Everybody doing okay? See, you're not going to get much offering. Don't care. I'd rather have obedient people than to preach it some other way. I can get a hold of God and we'll figure it out one way or the other. I'm not about to ask you to do something contrary to the Word of God. Everybody doing all right? Well, live by faith. You need to live by faith. Well, you go live by faith. You're asking your mortgage company and the power company and the water company to live by faith. You're not asking that person to live by faith. When you take allocated money from someone's paycheck and say, you live by faith to resupply it and give the rest of it to God, you and I are going to battle on that one. Everybody doing okay? I've had people in this room, I've counseled you to back off how much extra giving you gave over your tithe so as to get yourself financially back where you needed to be. And said, once you get out of financial debt and you want to give more, then give more. But until then, give your tithe, maybe just a hair over if you can afford it that month. And past that, forget it. Get yourself out of debt. Yeah. We're doing okay. Everybody doing all right? Now, God will not do anything contrary to his word. He won't do anything outside of his word. I'll try to be nice when I say this. I don't care how you feel about something. Doesn't matter what you feel. What does God say? God binds himself to that book right there. He said, I will work within the confines of that book. That means if it's not in that book, don't do it. I knew a lady. She came and said that she was married, had 4 or 5 kids. And she said, when I was a teenager, I surrendered to be a missionary, and I want to go be a missionary. I said, it's wonderful. Where are you and your family going? Oh, my family's not going, but I need to honor God. I said, you're disobeying God by leaving your family to go do that. I said, and you're not right with God, and you need to go see the preacher. And he tore into her. The moment she crossed one line of marriage, she had already broken the vow. She was released from that vow. She now had children and a husband to take care of, more than going to the mission field. Everybody doing okay? And by the way, that was the right counsel. I wonder how many fools would have said, all right, you just leave your husband and your kids and go to the mission field. You obey God. That's foolishness. So tonight we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and we have 20 minutes and I got to fly. You ready? Number one, God gave us the Bible through the Holy Spirit. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to use our Bibles because it's not my words, it's his. 2 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse number 20. Now watch this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of whom?
Man.
But by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the
Holy Ghost.
In other words, God gave us the Word of God by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, as the holy men of God, that word holy doesn't mean perfect. It means sanctified, set apart. I use this illustration. The Bible talks about my tongue as the pen of a ready writer. That pen can write good things. That pen can write bad things. It depends on who's writing with it. If I write with it, it'll write good things. If I give it to Mrs. Barnes, it may not write good things. No. if I give it, you know. But we don't know who made that pen. Could have been a drunkard who made that pen. Could have been a druggie who drove the truck to deliver that pen. So it didn't matter how clean the pen was. What mattered was who was holding it and who was writing with it. And that is how we got the, well, man wrote the Bible. No, man didn't write the Bible. He was the vessel. God wrote it through us by the Holy Spirit. And that's how we got the word. The word moved there is the word breathed. But holy men of God, God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. The word moved there is the word breathe or speak. You know, as I talk, air is flowing across my vocal cords or vocal folds, however you want to say it. And you can't talk with no air. How many of you have ever hit your solar plexus and you can't breathe and you're going, you know, there's nothing coming out. Yeah, buddy. You're like, okay, God, just take me fast. This is too painful. Had that happen more than once. You're like, you can't talk. You can't do anything. You say, why? There's nothing moving. The diaphragm's not moving and pushing air and pulling air. There's no air flowing. The Holy Spirit breathed God's words. By the way, that's what the word inspiration means. It means God breathed. The word of God was given by inspiration. When a baby is born, it takes its first breath outside the womb. It inspires. It inhales. When you die, you expire. That means your air goes and doesn't come back. All right? God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What did he do? He breathed into man, and he inspired. He resuscitated. He put life into. And the word of God was given by life-giving words by God. He breathed them. He spoke them through man. Now, the eternal words of God were given word by word through the Holy Spirit. That's what we call the verbal inspiration of the Bible. It was given by God with his words through man. Does that make sense to everybody? Not through man's thoughts. It was inspired by God. Now, number two, I've got to hurry. God's words are as eternal as he is. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse number 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever. How long is forever? That means forever. That means forever future. It means forever past. Forever, O Lord, thy words are settled in heaven. This means that the word of God is as eternal as God because they are God's words. See, God did not give the thoughts to man, and each man wrote down in his own style. I've heard self-proclaimed theologians say, well, we know that the book of Romans was written by Paul because it has Paul's style. That guy's got holes in his head big enough to drive twin Mack trucks. Those are not Paul's words. Those are God's words. Well, we know that that David wrote these because these are David's style and these are Solomon's style. No, it's God's. It's not David said, it's God said. You see, God did not give the thoughts to man and each man write down in his own style. He said, well, there's four gospels. Matthew says it this way. Mark says it this way. Luke says it that way. And John says it that way. No, they're all God's words.
You're right.
They were all God's words. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Let me show you something. Matthew chapter 5, look at, by the way, these are Jesus' actual words as he was preaching. You would call it the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The word jot and the word tittle. The word jot is the dot over a cup over a letter. Like we would dot an I, that's what a jot is. A tittle is an accent mark, I believe. Is that right? It's kind of like a little accent mark that you would put in the Greek language. So God said not one dot, not one accent mark would pass away till God fulfilled everything in his word.
That's right.
Guess that means it's forever.
Amen.
So, number one, God gave us the Bible by the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Bible is as eternal as God is. Number three, the Holy Spirit with the Bible shows the power of truth, of the truths of God's word. There is nothing more wonderful than having the author himself teach you the book. I wrote a book about 10 years ago, and I've had a lot of people read it, and I've got folks that still read it and talk to me. Gave it to one of our new men recently in our church, and he's been reading it, and he said, "I got a question about this." I said, "Sure." And he sat down and asked me a couple questions, and he said, "Okay, that makes a wow. And it was just, he said, "I'm glad I had you to talk to." He said, "I don't think I'd have figured that out on my own." I said, "It's all right." I was talking with an assistant pastor not long ago that got a copy of my book and called me just to ask me a question about it. And he kind of enjoy it because you get to explain it as you wrote it. That makes sense to everybody? I've had preachers buy them and teach them as Wednesday night Bible studies. I've had colleges use it as a college textbook. It is what it is. It's not because it's me. It's just practical truth. But there's nothing more wonderful than having the author of the Bible empower you, work through you, and teach you and help you as you teach his words. That's what it's all about. You see, we preach to the outside as the Holy Spirit preaches to the inside. My job is to use his words so that he can work on your heart and your mind and your life while I preach. That's all it is. It says in the book of John, I believe chapter 1, somebody is talking to John the Baptist, and he said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am a voice crying in the wilderness." Say, what does that mean? He was a voice. He was God's voice in the wilderness proclaiming, "Thus saith the Lord," so that the Holy Spirit of God could do his work and do what man cannot do on his own. Don't take this the wrong way, but don't you think there are other things in life I could have done? It is a calling of God to do what I do. You don't do it for popularity, that's for sure. You get known, but it's not always popular. So we preach to the outside, and the Holy Spirit works on the inside. Let me show you why. Because the moment, Brother Barnes, that you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved inside of you. And when I preach that book right there, the Holy Spirit's on the inside, and he's working on you saying, "That's right, you got to do that. Nah, you ought not do that. Don't you remember what the preacher said?" And that is the Holy Spirit working through you. Some people would call it conviction.
Right.
Some people, by the way, don't take this the wrong way. That's why lost people aren't convicted by the Holy Spirit. They have to submit to the Holy Spirit. They're not convicted by him. He's not inside them bothering them.
You're right.
We'll get to that at another study. But number next, the Holy Spirit quickens the words of God. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. There is so much material in so little time. John chapter 6, verse number 63. The Holy Spirit quickens or gives life to the words of God. Look at verse number 63. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now watch something with me for a moment. The word quicken means to give life. How many of you ever have bent your fingernail back into the quick? Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you don't, you'll find out real quick if you do it. Ha, ha, ha. Say, what is that? That's where the life of that nail is. You break it all the way back into the quick. That's where the life of it is. The part that sticks off the end isn't alive anymore, and you can cut it. It doesn't bother you. But boy, you cut it underneath that thing, and you got to reach down and... Did you ever have a nail that you had to pull off? Oh, that makes you just want to cry and scream and weep and wail. Amen? That's what being born again means. It means that you were quickened with life. Boy, I really want to go to John chapter 3. I really do not have time. But that's what being born again means. When something is born, it's given what? Life. So it's the Spirit that gives life. And it's the Spirit that gives life to the Word of God. Can I say something? That's why the lost world says that's just another book. Because they don't have any life.
You're right.
It's not alive to them. But when you get saved and the Holy Spirit moves inside, there is life in it. And all of a sudden, shazam, there it is. It's not magic. It's the fact that you became alive. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, become alive by the Spirit of God, and now there's life in the words of God.
That's good.
So the Holy Spirit brings life to our spirit, and God uses the Word of God to do that. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Let me give you one more verse on this, and we'll hit the last point or two. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 16. The Spirit, notice, capital S, the Holy Spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That means this. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God.
Yes, sir.
I got saved when I was about 4.5 years old. Guess what? I've been saved for 46, almost 47 years. I know people that doubt their salvation every other week. I don't doubt that I was born. Now, the paperwork says May 23rd, 1967. My parents said May 23rd, 1967. I know on May 23rd every year since 1967, actually since 1968, I've had a birthday party. I guess I was born May 23rd, 1967. Make sense to everybody? Guess what? I know I got born again, too. I can't tell you the date on the calendar, but I can take you to where I was, what happened. You see, it is the Spirit of God that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit was the human author of the Bible, 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. We already been there. So who better to teach it to us than the Holy Spirit of God? I don't understand the Bible, preacher. Before you read, say, Holy Spirit, help me as I read. Teach me something that I need today. Do you know how many times I've done that in my life? More than you and I can both count. More than I can count. You try coming up with 3 or 4 sermons a week. I don't get them out of a book or off Mrs. Barnes's computer because I don't have one. I don't get them that way. It's me and God. So, who better to teach you the Word of God than the one that gave it to us? God Himself, by the Spirit. He's living inside you. He can teach it to you.
That's right.
Number 5, and I've got to hurry and I'll be done. Whew. The Holy Spirit can teach you the deep things of God. Now, I have about 4 or 5 minutes. I need your minds. For some of you, that will be a chore. The Holy Spirit not only teaches us what the Bible says, but He teaches us how to apply it and show us how deep simplicity really is. Man wants to know or make everybody think that they know more than or equal to God. You'll hear people get up and say, well, this represents this in the Bible, and this represents this in the Bible. Brass represents judgment, and silver represents this, and gold represents this. unless God said it, it's not there. Well, David's name means this. So his life was... Did you know you got your name before you lived your life? It always amazes me how preachers can preach a whole sermon on what a person's name means, and that person had nothing to do with their own name. It doesn't make sense. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You say, what is that? Somebody trying to impress you with knowledge that they don't have? We're going to show you the deep things of God. Help us. God's depth and the Bible's depth is in the fact that it can be applied in so many parts of our life. Matter of fact, it could be applied in every area of life. You'll go hear smarter preachers than I. You'll go hear maybe preachers that know the Bible better than I do. But what good is it if you can't use what they taught you? A sermon ought to be a greasy wrench that you can use. It ought to be a screwdriver that you can pound with, turn the screw with, use as a chisel, and pick ice if you need to. But it's something that you learn how to use for more than one thing, but you don't check electrical sockets with it. Amen? Right, Sam? you see, God's depth is not how deep it goes, but how far and how many places it can apply. God's depth of the Bible is not about knowing what God did not say. It's about obeying what he did say. You see, the Bible, you can add any meaning in the world you want to it and think you're intelligent, but can you use it? See, depth is not measured by how many meanings you can come up with. Depth is measured by how many applications you can put it to. Everybody got that? Yeah. It's not how many words you can use to explain it. George Washington Carver. He was a black man born in slavery. They think back in the 1850s, 1860s, they never kept many birth records for most slaves, but George Washington Carver, by the way, underrated as a hero. He should be a hero and not Martin Luther King Jr. George Washington Carver was an inventor. Came up with 300 uses for the peanut. Came up with over 175 uses for the sweet potato. Can I tell you why? Because at the turn of the century, of the 1900s, we had the problem with the depletion of the soils in America. George Washington Carver knew that the peanuts and the sweet potatoes, the legumes, if people would start planting those in rotating crops, they would put the nitrogen and the nutrients back into the soil and still be able to raise a crop and not have to let the field sit empty. He came up with so many uses for it that more farmers would farm it and use it. He had to come up with applications for it for the need for people to do it. He is the person responsible in America for what we call crop rotation. Oh, by the way, where did he get it? The Bible. God talks about crop rotation in the Word of God to the Jews in the Old Testament. But man thinks he knows more than God. So George Washington Carver came up with, between the two, peanut and the sweet potato, 475 uses, and people said, man, we ought to start planting peanuts. And then we had President Carter. George Washington Carver took something simple and showed us the depth of simplicity. Just a little peanut. Oh, you can make peanut butter out of it. You go down south where Mrs. Lopez is from, and they boil them and eat them. That is the nastiest stuff this side of Hades. Boiled peanuts. Nasty. My dog wouldn't eat those things. They are just, blah. How many of you ever had boiled peanuts, right? Yeah, they're, well, Miss Mung, you ate rat and monkey meat too, so if it didn't kill you, you ate it. Mm-mm. Can't take a Vietnamese palate on that one. So the depth of George Washington Carver was not the complexity of the component. His depth came because he found more uses for it. The application of it. See, depth is not how much you know, it's how much can you use. We have a lot of people sitting in educational facilities that Dr. Fatbottom, who's got a big head. Say, why? Because he can use big words, and he's read a lot of words, and he knows a lot of words and a lot of meanings, but he can't even comb his own hair. Did you ever see Einstein? Yeah. He looks like Brother Randy in reverse. Man couldn't find his way home. He had to have somebody lead him home. He couldn't even find his own way home. He was so smart. You're welcome. At least you can find your way home, right? Your wife was wishing you... No, never mind. Now, I'll quit. The Holy Spirit always works within the confines of the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Say, well, I just feel led by the Spirit. Show me in the Bible where you feel led by it. I always tell people, show me in the Bible before you say, the Spirit led me. I was out soul winning one day and met up with a person, and they said, oh, you came to my, I feel led to give you a check for your church. I said, good, then come to the church and give it, but I'm not taking it. They said, and it was sizable. It was four digits, not with the decimal point either. And I said, I won't take it. They said, but you're the pastor. I said, that's why I won't take it. I said, you want to give it? Come to my church and give it. But I'm not touching it. I said, I'm not for hire. I said, I am not out soliciting. I said, if I take money, I have just solicited and I refuse to do it. I won't do it. They never came to the church, never gave it, and I don't care. Say, why? They said, I feel led. I said, can't show me in the Bible where you feel led. I said, there's nowhere in the scripture says I need to do that. The Bible does say if you want to give to the church, bring it to the storehouse and give it. It doesn't say for the preacher to go house to house and take it. Everybody doing okay? somebody say amen. All right. The Holy Spirit is God. He will guide you as you read the Bible. He will guide you as you hear the Bible preached. He will guide you as you obey the Bible. But the Holy Spirit cannot and will not work outside the Word of God, because if he does, he is no longer God. And he's nothing but a sinner like you and me. So, the Holy Spirit, he gave us the Word. He worked through man to give us the Word. He works by the Word. He stays within the confines of that Word. 98% of the will of God is right there. I tell preacher boys all the time, well, I just don't know where... Just do what that says and don't worry about the other 2%. If you get a 98, it's still an A+. Don't worry about it. I'd rather do the right thing in the wrong place than do nothing in the right place. Too many people are worried about the place and not the what. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, God will let you know where you're supposed to do it. Say why? Because you're doing all of that. He'll show you what the rest of it is that you don't know. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder, how well do you know the Holy Spirit? How well do you know the Word of God? Say, well, the Word of God just doesn't make much sense to me. First of all, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Second of all, how close to him are you? Who'd say, preacher, if I died tonight, I am 100% sure. I'm going to embarrass you, won't call you by name, but I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Say, preacher, I don't know, but sometime I'd like to know. I won't call you. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. But you say, I don't know that for sure, but someday I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, the Lord's convicted me tonight about the Word of God by the Holy Spirit of God. There's some things that I need to maybe work on in my life because of that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, many, many hands tonight.